Welcome back to the Nutrition and Life podcast. My name is Lisa, I'm your host. In today's episode, I'm speaking with Christian Kaba, fat loss coach for busy moms. Christian and I speak about how to set boundaries to build back confidence in a strong body, as well as ways to get out of the all or nothing trap. I hope you enjoy the episode, and please, if you like the show, subscribe and give us a rating or take a screenshot and share the episode on your social media. Thank you so much. Also, as always, if you want personalized help with your nutrition and fitness goals, we are your go-to coaches. Just hit the contact link in the show notes for more details. Now on to my conversation with Christian. Christian Kaba, welcome to the show.
Happy to be here.
I'm super excited to talk about all things fat loss, especially for the moms that are listening. Before we get right into the details of that, I'd love to hear what is the number one thing you're excited for our listeners to learn from our conversation today?
Yeah, so I think something that's so important that I want everybody listening to get from this talk is just learning how to slow down, learning how to pause. Because at the phase of life that most busy moms, 35 plus are at, you have so many responsibilities. It's so easy to make everybody else, more of a priority than yourself and to put yourself on the back burner. And so if there's one thing that you're going to take away from this, it's that you're going to learn how to be able to take care of yourself guilt-free and do it in a way that actually fits into your busy schedule. Because that's what I do best, is help moms be able to put themselves first despite all of the chaos that life throws at us. So that's what you're going to get.
Love it. What a mission, honestly. And I mean, everybody is busy. Everybody is busy. Absolutely. But as you said, moms tend to just overload their plate for the sake of everyone else. And then they fall behind, not noticing that essentially they can't show up as their highest self with everyone else also. But tell us how you got into coaching and specifically coaching moms.
Yeah. So in 2015, we're going to go way back 15 years ago, high school. I was a elite level athlete playing basketball at the time. My mom came to all of my games. She was always cheering me on. And I remember I wasn't getting played as much as I should. And she always had my back. She talked to my coach. She was like, "Oh, why don't you play him more? This and that." So she was just like my biggest supporter. And at that same time, my parents were going through a really hard time in their marriage. And there was a lot of domestic violence at home, a lot of abuse and things like this. And, I felt like there was a lot of narcissism on the side of my stepfather because he didn't really want to see her step out and go to the gym and start working on herself. And so when she did, it was pretty problematic. And I started going to the gym because I wanted to get more playtime, right? I wanted to start being a better athlete. And I saw my parents kind of trying to start to do CrossFit and all the extreme things, Herbalife, Noom, Beachbody, P90X, Insanity. So doing all these crazy workouts. And I was like, maybe I should do that too. So I did everything, all the diets that my mom did, all the like Herbalife, all the shakes like that. I did it all. I seen it all. Weight Watchers, Jenny Craig. And I was like, there must be a better answer because they weren't able to keep up with it. And it led to conversations at the dinner table of we shouldn't eat this or we should only eat this. And yeah, it's just expensive as well, having, four siblings, myself, my parents, two dogs, So it was like stressful conversation talking about trying to get in shape and how expensive it was and how little time everyone had. So I went to school and I went to college, became a fitness coach through a fitness and health promotions program that was 2 years at my local college. And that's where I started. And I remember my parents saying, "You're never going to get a good job being a personal trainer. And, it's not going to pay the bills. You should become a pilot." And I know that they were saying that from a place of love. They want what's best for me. But I just knew that my purpose in life was I wanted my mom to feel really strong. I wanted to be her biggest cheerleader because that's what she was for me. And I know a lot of moms face the same issues of feeling unconfident, unenergized, burnt out. And I just never want children to see their mothers go through what I did, feeling like they're never doing good enough, that they never feel their best. And so I worked at a women's only gym after that. I'm going to kind of fast forward a little bit. I was a teacher in China for a while. I taught English for almost 2 years in China. That was awesome working with children, which kind of helps me connect to the whole busy mom thing of like understanding how busy and how much like kids expect from you. But yeah, I became a personal trainer at a women's only gym. COVID struck, took everything online, and everything just exploded from there.
Super cool. Well, thank you so much for walking us through your story. And I absolutely, absolutely love your why in the sense of sharing, well, your what you learned from observing your mom. And I mean, a lot of that resonates with me as well in the sense of coming from a background of a little bit more limiting beliefs and seeing the things that could go wrong, should go wrong, are probably going to go wrong as opposed to what you could potentially achieve by just having a wonderful mission. So, yeah, I love how you pushed through that and listened to your intuition, to your gut to get you to where you are today because you are doing such a fabulous job from what I can see in helping moms, you know, lose pounds in a way that is not just manageable, but also sustainable and super, super healthy, moving away from all those miserable diets. So one thing that you kind of touched on there was also learning how to set boundaries because in the end, without boundaries, many people just walk over us. And especially if you have a lot coming in, you know, you might get from one of your children in their class. Oh, can you help out there? Can you help out this? Can you do this? And if you always say yes, 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 yes to everything, that is the recipe for falling behind. So how can we set boundaries to build confidence back and to, yeah, essentially get the body that we want in a healthy way?
Love that question. So, I want to start with the conversation that we all have the same 24 hours. Like, yes, we have 24 hours, but moms don't have the same 24 hours as everyone else. So you have to protect your time and your energy. And so how you do that is by first understanding that every time that you say yes to someone else, you're saying no to you. Every time you say yes to someone else, you're saying no to you. And so if you want to be the best for your kids, you need to start learning how to say yes to you more, because my favorite perspective shift that I've been focusing a lot on with my clients lately is that in 20 years from now, when you have a conversation with your kids and they're all grown up at the dinner table and they ask you, "Hey, mom, have you been going to the gym? Have you been taking care of yourself?" You don't want to look back and say, "Well, no, I'm out of shape and it's because of you," because when I was growing up or when you were growing up, I had no energy left for myself, or I had no time to make for myself because I was taking care of you. Like, you're not gonna wanna put the blame on them. It's on you, right? And it doesn't mean that you need to beat yourself up. It just means that you need to stop feeling guilty, stepping away from your family to take 20 or even 30 minutes to work on yourself from home with some dumbbells 3 days a week. 3 days a week. But I think the biggest issue is that it's the all or nothing mindset that if you're not working out 5, 6, 7 days a week, if you're not hitting your calories and your protein and your carbs, and you're not only sticking to whole foods all the time, that there's no point at all and you don't have time to do things perfect. And you don't need to do things perfect. You just need to make progress. Like, literally doing anything more than what you're doing right now is a point, is a step in the right direction, right? So that's my perspective shift for you.
I absolutely love that. I think moving away from that all or nothing mentality is like really the first step for everything. And it's so hard to break out of that when society and all our own personal experience usually tell us, hey, that's what you should do. You know, it's perfectly normal to put on a ton of weight over the holidays and then crash diet for a while until summer comes and then hate your body after the summer again because you overindulged in this and that. And it's just, yeah, it's this never ending cycle that is really detrimental to the relationship with food and to our own body as well. So I love what you're saying about, you know, realizing that you need to say no to other people in order to be able to say yes to yourself. And so what are some practical ways you get people to start with that, because of course, like they probably know that hypothetically already, but how do you implement that realistically?
I think it's important that you communicate your goals to the people that you live with. You have to make your environment conducive to your growth. And so if you're just keeping it all to yourself, you can't expect people to understand why it is that you're doing. So for example, you tell your kid to take off the boots when they come in the front door because you don't want them to make a mess all around the house. You have no issue doing that, right? So then why can't you tell them that mommy's got to step away for a minute? I have to take 20, 30 minutes. Lock yourself in the room. I know that that might feel uncomfortable because maybe they're making a mess. Or maybe you have to obviously ask the neighbor to come over and you have to ask for help. And there's no shame in asking for help, which is another issue I feel most people have problems with, right? They don't want to seem like they don't have it all together, but nobody does. So like ask for help or just communicate with your kids that I need to take a step away for now, so I can't help you at this moment. And if they get upset, the only reason why people ever get upset at you setting boundaries is because they only benefited from you having no boundaries set at all. When people get upset at you setting boundaries, it's because they only benefited from you having no boundaries set at all. And so the best thing you could say is make it about you, not them. The reason why people get upset as well is because you're saying, I can't get in shape because of you, essentially. But if you say, I can't be my best for you and I want you to be, I want to give everything to you, but I need to take a step back and I need to take care of myself right now. So please put yourself into the other room, or please let me put myself into this room so I can do that for you. And then it's like, oh, okay, that makes sense. You know, like I can't get the best mom if she's not her best. And so kids aren't going to realize that right away. And maybe your partner's not going to realize that right away, that you're stepping away to go to the gym and it's going to benefit them. They don't notice it, but eventually they will. So if it feels uncomfortable now, that's normal because growth is uncomfortable. And anything like opposite, being comfortable is just staying stuck with where you're at right now. And that's not getting you to where you want to be, right?
Oh, amen. Yes, I love what you said about all of that, literally, and especially the if we're not happy right now, we've got to do something different. I mean, doing the same thing over and over and over again, like the yo-yo dieting that people have done in the past years and hoping for a different outcome, and suddenly you have a better relationship with food and suddenly it's going to stick. That's just absolutely ludicrous. So no, I think a very, very good point to start off with. And so more specifically also then you said, okay, in terms of workouts, making sure we're prioritizing that, even if it's just 10, 20 minutes per day and so on. In terms of nutrition though, like if people say, my kids are picky, my husband won't eat this and that, how do you, aside from communicating what your goals are, like how do you get people to start in terms of their nutrition?
So the way that I go about it with my clients is, again, obviously like communicate your goals, but I think it's so important that you are able to have the flexibility to eat the same things that your family wants. So for example, if your kids want to go for ice cream, we'll skip to July right now. You and your kids want to have ice cream. If you right now can't eat something like that and then own it and move on, then that's showing me that you think that getting in shape means that you need to give up all of those things, which means that you're probably going to have a little bit of friction with your partner because maybe they want to enjoy a bowl of chips, or that they want to have ice cream at night, but that you can't. And that might be like now you're feeling like you're resisting and you're resisting and you're resisting enjoying those things, and it only makes you want to have it more. So then you do great all week, but then you give in on the weekends. And so like if you've done keto, if you've done fasting, and you know you have all these set rules that you can't have this and you can only eat at this time, trust me when I say it's going to work until it doesn't. All because you simply don't know how to eat in the right amount, keeping all the foods you love. So with my clients, we simply have a calorie range and a protein range. And I specify, like, I really want to like emphasize on range, because if you, most people struggle with macros because they feel like they need to be perfect all the time. Like, what's the difference between, you know, when you try to get 10,000 steps? I'm speaking to all of you ladies that are like, I'm trying to get 10,000 steps. Like, what's the difference between you getting 9,000 steps and 10,000 steps? Like, are you a failure just because you missed 1,000 steps? What is that, 10 minutes of walking? So when you go over your calories by 100, it's like that same idea that on average, you could still be in quote unquote a calorie deficit if the other days of the week you just get right back on track and try to stay close to that range. But I think so many people just feel like I screwed up all my progress because I didn't hit my calories perfectly. I didn't hit my protein perfectly. I screwed up. And it's this whole dieting culture of you do it all or nothing. You cut out this, otherwise I'm not going to lose the weight fast. And it's like we just got to get rid of that mindset. So in terms of keeping on track with a partner, it comes down to communicating that, you know, you have a goal so that they don't walk into the room as well and just start eating out of the whole bag. Instead, leave the bag in the kitchen and give yourself a bowl of chips so that you guys aren't just eating out of the full bag. Or maybe just don't buy those trigger foods for a little while That way, once you get into some momentum here, you're not even really craving it because you don't really want to feel like crap, right? So I think it's there's a very fine line of okay, keep all the foods you love while hitting your macros, and then also understanding where your trigger foods are and not actually consuming those for a little while. That way, because I know if I have a little thing of ice cream here, like a Ben and Jerry's one, even though I know I can fit those into my macros, it's hard to stop at just one or two scoops. I'm probably gonna eat the whole thing, which is 1,000 calories. So I'm probably not gonna buy that, not because it's bad, but because I know myself and I'm not gonna be able to control myself. So
Yeah,
it's
that's a really good point. I mean, I love the overall philosophy of no restriction. I've practiced the same. I teach the same to my client, and same sort of thing in terms of just having calories and protein. I think fats and carbs can be so flexible. It really doesn't matter. We don't need to major in the minor if we're not, if someone's a bodybuilder stepping on stage or even just getting photo shoot lean, that's a different story. But aside from that, no, totally the consistency and the ranges are, like, for me personally, have helped so much as well. Like, I have tracked my calories and my protein roughly for nearly, well, for 9 years, let's say 9 years, and pretty much without a break, to be honest. And I'm not saying that to intimidate people or to say like everybody has to do that. Not at all. Like, I'm absolutely, up for if people want to transition into intuitive eating, and everyone has different goals. But the reason why it doesn't feel like a big deal to me at all, number one, is it gets so much quicker the longer you have done it, right? Like, it takes me literally like a minute to three per day, sort of thing, if that. And number two is also, there throughout that time, there was like a half a year where I was living in a tent without a scale and just kind of eyeballing things, or I had like cup measurements. Is that ideal? Is that super accurate? Absolutely not. Would I advise that to someone to start off with? Probably not also. And then the other few years, maybe, if I sum it all up, a month or two of the year, I easily just eyeball things, or I just estimate things. And to your point, like, what's the difference between 100 calories up and down? But the point that I am still tracking and not fall, quote unquote, falling off of my tracking habit makes it easy to continue with it, as opposed to starting back up, or then thinking, oh, I have no idea where I'm at anyway. I might just eat some more. Or my case, not tracking actually results more into under eating, because I have no, like, I'm not gauging so well how much I have, or I'm too afraid of overeating, or so that's not a healthy place to be in either. But yeah, I really love your strategies, really focused on consistency, really making it simple and sustainable for everybody. And so, like, going deeper into that, or I'm curious, has that been your method with regards to coaching busy moms from the beginning, or have there been things that you personally changed your mind on or changed your method on just from experience and getting more into the mindset side of things as well?
I can answer that. Do you mind if I grab my charger from my laptop so I don't die on here?
No,
Is that
you go ahead. Absolutely. Go for it. I'm just going to continue talking about my time with tracking anyway, because seriously, I do hear quite often, when I say to people, hey, I've been almost tracking for 10 years, that they say, what? Why are, don't you by now, you preach to people that tracking, even just for a short amount of time, gives you the knowledge of what your portion should look like or how much you eat. Don't you trust yourself by now? Well, I do. But again, like, for me, a minute to three per day is a very low price to pay to have a sense of more flexibility, more, yeah, accuracy. And I personally like data. So, if someone says they don't care for that, then let's transition into intuitive eating. But it has worked really well for me. But yes, please go ahead and share with us if there's anything that you've changed about your methods or approach over the last few years.
So very first thing is one, I think that structure is extremely key for moms because if they're going on a whim or just eating healthy or they're just praying and hoping for the best that they lose each week, that's more exhausting and frustrating than anything for them. And then you just feel like you're broken and there's something wrong with you. And then you start looking into your hormones. And then the truth is, if you just took a week to take a look at everything you were eating, realistically, you're eating very similar breakfast every day. Realistically, very realistically, you're probably having very similar lunches. The only thing that might change on the daily is your dinner. So Ideally, you would be eating very similar breakfast and lunch anyways. It should be. Because if you're always switching it up, then that's just decision fatigue and it's exhausting thinking about what you should be eating on a day-to-day basis. So the very first thing that's changed with my clients is that I've been advising that they just stick to two or three very like staple things that they choose for breakfast and lunch. That way, the accuracy with their tracking is on point because a lot of ladies say, well, I track my macros and I'm not seeing results. But then it's also that they're eating the most complex meals and every day it's always changing. And like, you look at really anything and the nutrition facts are, they're allowed to be off by 10 to 20% the calories. That could be anywhere from 50 to 100 calories, something crazy, depending on how many calories is in that food. So I'd rather you stick to very similar meals when they're just meals for you. And then your dinners can have a little bit more variation. But it only takes my clients 2 to 3 minutes to plan each night. What am I going to eat tomorrow? And it's like that's the lack of structure that most moms have because they're just sticking to clean foods, expecting that they're going to get to where they want to be. Aside from just getting consistent with meal selection, it's that I used to track carb, fat, and protein and calories with my clients. And that's just too many metrics. And I find that just focusing on calories and protein is the easiest and giving them a range again. And then for my more advanced clients, we focus on a fiber goal as well.
Love
And
it.
that, because obviously the quality of the food that you consume is very important to keep you full in fat loss. People say, how do I stay full if I'm in a calorie deficit? Well, how much fiber are you getting every day? Are you getting 5, 10 grams of fiber like I see most women getting in? So like it's funny because even if you're having a salad, like there might not even really be that much fiber in that meal. So you gotta like, and a lot of ladies are skipping out on carbs and carbs are fiber. It's like you're skipping out on oats, you're skipping out on rice, you're skipping out on potatoes. But most women don't realize that potatoes are the most satiating, one of the most satiating foods in the world because there's carbs in it and it spikes my insulin. It's gonna stop me from losing fat. Not true. Not if you account for calories as well. And I know that a lot of people might be rolling their eyes thinking, well, insulin makes you hold on to the body fat. But that's the misconception is that when you're they think that insulin itself is gonna hold make you hold on to body fat and store body fat. But the truth is it just makes you crave a lot more foods when your blood sugar is constantly high. Because when you crash, you want more sugar, or you binge eat, and you might have done great all week, but at some point you're gonna break because you're avoiding carbs, which is also again gonna keep you more full as long as it's got good fiber. So I know that was a long-winded
No, I
thing.
love it. Absolutely, especially on the point of carbs. I'm a big carb lover myself, and I do think that most women function a lot better with some healthy carbs, unprocessed carb sources, or minimally processed carb sources for sure. And Christian, what I'd love to kind of do is giving you like somewhat of an avatar and just maybe your points on how that person can make some changes in their life. So a lot of the listeners or the majority of the listeners actually love working out almost to the extent of they have a harder time not working out than they do working out. So it's more the type A person. So they, might do might like their HIIT training, but also their strength training, but they like feeling exhausted, probably getting up at 5 a.m. or whatever, super early to get their workout done before the kids even get up, getting the kids ready, then dropping the kids off a full work day after work. They're doing a bunch of other things and fall into bed very exhausted at 8, 9 o'clock, or maybe later, probably waking up at 3 o'clock, hard time going back to sleep. That sort of high stress at type A person. To the point that you made initially, with regards to stress and realizing that we need to slow down. How do we practically get that client to take a step back if they're terrified also of doing any less exercise affecting their, fat mass or whatever, or losing their gains or whatever? Like, how would you practically approach that?
So let's talk about the mindset behind this because the psychology is everything. It's, you buy a brand new car, it's a sports car. All your audience that's listening that takes their fitness very seriously and likes to go fast and likes to go hard. You treat your body like it's a sports car. But if you're not doing stress management, that's like you never getting an oil change. It's like you never checking the pressure in your tires to make sure it doesn't blow. If you don't want to blow up and burn out, and crash on the side of the road and, completely total your car, you have to make stress management your number one priority at all times. Because I've made the mistake myself of pushing myself so hard to the point where I end up injuring myself, my shoulder. I used to get constant shoulder injuries every 6 months because I never just took a step back and did like a deload and gave myself permission to just do more mobility. Like there's not a day that goes by now where I don't grab a foam roller, roll up my glutes, do some core activation. And I never just jump into a workout. Like I used to have the mindset that, okay, I'm gonna warm up and I'm just gonna do some chest flies, I'm gonna do some lateral raises to warm up. Like, no, I gotta do some things to work on stability. Because if I'm just focusing on compound movements and going super heavy and just doing HIIT to work on my cardiovascular health, but I'm not working on my tendon health, my joint health, I'm gonna crash. So you think that you're treating your body like a sports car, but you're really not. So it's changing your perspective and saying like sometimes less is more. Sometimes taking a step back, like in my opinion, training 4 to 5 days a week is much better than training every single day of the week. So
Yeah, I think
that.
it's a really good entry point. And of course, as you said, like the realization and the mindset work behind that has to come along. I found that sometimes because it's so habitual that they get up at that certain time or want to do something, some kind of movement for an hour, I've sometimes found it almost not easier, but another method is to say, okay, let's look at the training program as well and the things that are really stressful for your nervous system. Let's take those out and just go in there and do, like you said, you can still spend an hour in the gym, but do more of the foam rolling, like make that 20 minutes as opposed to 60 minutes of like totally giving yourself, whatever until you lay on the floor completely exhausted. So that it's not such a big change. And then once people have kind of gotten a bit of more of a taste for what it feels like to relax more, and that their body then actually starts craving that more and more, the more we get out of that high cortisol adrenaline state, at first it feels horrible, and then you're starting to crave that more and more. I personally have found as well. And I'll be the first to admit that literally, I mean, I've been practicing meditation for let me see, like 8 years now, and still the first 3 minutes are always the hardest because it takes me to drop into it, and every single day I have a discussion with myself whether I should actually do it or not.
I would underestimate the significance of the little things, and it's the little things that compound into the big things. And so if you're overlooking meditation or some very light yoga or some breath work, which is my favorite, I go on YouTube and I type in a 10-minute breath work. It seems so insignificant, but if you don't do that, it's a domino effect. Your blood sugar spike because you wake up in fight or flight, like you got to run out the door or that you got to go and do some intense workout right away. But if you didn't do that, then now that leads you to feeling more exhausted in the middle of your day because you didn't, focus on your cortisol. You didn't focus on your stress management. So,
Yeah,
stress
100%.
management and blood sugar regulation is key to longevity and to also, compliance, nutritional compliance. If you're not going to comply to your plan long term, you're not going to recover well with your exercise plan if you're not focusing on blood sugar regulation, which all comes down to managing your stress through breath work, guided meditation, journaling, whatever it may be. So it's not insignificant, but because we are so hard on ourselves as athletes or as people that are go-getters, we think that it needs to be all or nothing. Go as hard as you can, as fast as you can. So you overlook the little things that seem so insignificant, but that are actually like the most significant thing when you compound it over time.
So true. Yeah, now what I always like to tell people when they're like, oh, I don't like meditation, I don't like this and that. Well, number one, there's different methods for different people. I totally acknowledge that. However, the overarching theme that you're touching on is it should be something that activates the parasympathetic nervous system, right? So pick your poison. But in each one of those methods, the discomfort you're feeling initially and the internal struggle that you're having with yourself, oh no, it's not even worth it. Today you don't have the full 10 minutes or whatever, just skip it, whatever. That internal struggle and overcoming that and sitting with the discomfort of it, that is where you are making the biggest quote unquote gains, where the benefit comes from. It's not from when you're enjoying that or when you're in the sauna loving it because it feels so good and you're getting the massage and it feels so good. Yes, all that is super, super helpful too. But you learning that To be in that parasympathetic state and teaching your body that that's exactly what it should be doing in terms of switching off, that's, in my opinion, where the benefit comes from.
Yeah, absolutely. I'd actually urge everybody watching, if you were a past athlete, something that has completely transformed my life in adopting that mindset of slowing down is getting back into a sport that challenges my body in a completely different way than resistance training does. I got into surfing last year, and when I started surfing, I started using muscles that I never used in the gym. And I felt like so out of shape. I was like, what? I go to the gym all the time and I work out and I, you know, whatever, I should be fit. And I just felt broken. And that is what made me realize I need to work on so much more mobility. I need to work on like calming myself down more. 'Cause if you're in the water, for example, with surfing and you're so, you know, spiked up all the time with a lot of energy and you're like, what's the word that I'm looking for? You are high on adrenaline and you don't know how to slow yourself down. Before you know it, a set wave comes and you're in a really bad situation where it could be life or death if you're not paying attention, all because you didn't first just like stop, breathe, relax, and like be aware of your environment and your breathing. Like you really have to slow down your breathing in situations like that. And I feel like for any sport, you have to be able to yin and yang, knowing, okay, there's a moment where I need to be fast and there's a moment where I need to be slow. And that's the same practice. That's why I started doing yoga and that's why I started doing meditation. Because if you don't know how to go slow and fast, yeah, if you don't know how to go slow and fast, you burn out, you crash, you feel even worse. So if you're
Oh,
an
that's
athlete,
awesome. And I love, I mean, surfing is amazing. I'm a huge lover of surfing for several reasons. I mean, you get so in touch with nature, with all the senses as well. But for me, it's a beautiful metaphor of just in general how we can flow through life in the best way, meaning learning to let go of control. I'll be the first to put my hand up that is a hard thing to do. Yes, but when people hear that, they think it just means like, oh, okay, I'm doing nothing. I'm now becoming passive. No. A surfer learns you're not fighting the water. You're not going against the water or the wave. You are still navigating. You're still, quote unquote, the driver of the surfboard and navigating where you're going. So you're still visualizing, you're manifesting, you're putting in all the work, but you're going with the flow of life, adapting
yeah.
to what's thrown at you. So we have to find that sweet spot between like letting go of control, but not, you don't want to be passive. You still want to take control of your life. You're not a victim. You're not a victim to your circumstances. You are in the driver's seat, but you need to go with the waves.
Yeah, you need to go with the waves. That's what it is. I absolutely love that. I've really made my life all about kind of sitting in flow, living in your truth, being as integral as you possibly can with your truth. And I think that nowadays, I mean, this conversation can go on forever. It's so easy to be someone else or to be someone else for someone else. And to like that's why I think it's so important for all of us to connect to nature, to just make more time for yourself. And that's another reason to do meditation or even to do yoga, is to just like be in your own presence. And to just be with yourself. If you can do that, you're going to find way more answers to things you never even thought you needed the answers to. And that's what surfing did for me. And that's what, honestly, it's funny. Like, it's all stepping stones. You start with weight training to get out of the pain that you're in or to like have more confidence, right? And then that leads you to the next thing and the next thing. But it's just a journey.
It really is. As long as we stay open and yeah, go with that flow life presents us with such wonderful
Absolutely.
opportunities and connections and so on. So I'm actually super, super curious to hear what you're excited about this year and the next few months for yourself, but also for your business, for the clients you're working with, just anything that comes to mind, really.
Yeah, I'm excited to. I just opened up like a VIP with my clients. So, for example, with one client, I'm actually like flying out to her. We're gonna do like a full day where we focus on, you know, her mindset, building out a whole game plan to help with her habit building. Because, as you know, online, it's like I can see what my clients are eating. I can see their step count because it connects to their Apple Watch or Fitbit. There's a lot of things I can keep track of, but it's still online. And so I'm really excited to open up that more one-on-one. With clients that I really love, enjoy, like that I enjoy working with, that I see are really putting in the work, and who really want to make this a lifestyle. Because I do find that a lot of moms, they push themselves, but it's a lot different than when I'm with them in person. They start to realize, wow, I really haven't been pushing myself as hard as I could be, or whatever the case may be. That, and I just moved to a new city. So I live here in Kelowna now, BC. I'm surrounded in an amazing environment. Aesthetic Nation is the gym that I go to here. Brian Mark just opened it up. Beautiful gym. Cole DeSilva and him, just super freaking proud of the work that they've done to open that up. But yeah, I'm excited to connect and do more things like this podcast. I mean, it's like, this is, I think, probably my second podcast that I've done. But I just want to connect with more people post-COVID. Now I feel like we're out of that COVID era, and I just need to get myself out of the online space and get a little bit more in person with people.
I love it.
So.
I'm really excited for you because from personal experience, I can say that for me, environment and where I'm at makes such a big difference. I mean, it's something about the energy that's around, like you mentioned, wonderful nature. If you're a gym lover like you and I, where you spend those 2 hours or whatever of the day, it makes such a big difference after a while you notice the faces and they start speaking to you and you start having a conversation and just that networking, that connection that you're mentioning. I'm super, super excited for you for all that. But the VIP client scenario sounds really cool too. And I mean, I think no matter at what level a client is at, and like that from me as like from a personal perspective or from having been a client as well. So even just last year, I made the effort to go and visit someone that I had been coaching with and do a personal training session with her as me being the client. And I mean, I've been in this space for quite some time, and I would say that, okay, by getting my bachelor's and master's in exercise science, I have a somewhat decent foundation, I guess. But man, what I learned in those 2 hours with her was like incredible, like
Yeah.
literally mind-blowing, because like you only see yourself from one angle, and even if you talk to another person online or send videos or whatever, it's a very different thing if they can actually be there tactile. Again, you get their energy, you get how they resonate with you. So I'm really, really excited for you and your client for that experience.
Every coach I've ever worked with, and yeah, I completely agree with what you're saying, and I appreciate you talking about your experiences with the other coaches, because I think that shows the audience, even us as coaches, we need coaches.
Oh, yeah,
Meaning
100%.
every coach I've ever worked with, I try, like my initial coach, I had a little bit of an ego 5, 6 years ago. I'm like, oh, I got all this, like I'm ready to go, I'll be your best client, like, and not expecting to really learn anything. I just thought, okay, I just need to implement the plan. That is kind of how it went, but that's because I had a very closed mind at the time. But then I've had three coaches since 2019, and I'm like, wow, what the heck is a cluster set? What is a K muscle set? Like even training at this intensity, I didn't know I was capable of. And that changed my perspective on what I could do. And I just never would have pushed myself to that level if I didn't hire that coach. If I thought, oh, I just know it all, I'll just pull up another old workout program I got from this coach in 2015 and do that and see if it works for me. So it's so important to know that, Lisa and I, as coaches, like, we need coaches too sometimes. We know a lot. We have a lot of education, but the point of us being able to help you is that we need to be learners. We need to be students at all time, just as much as we are leaders in helping you. So I'm always got my, education hat on, whatever you call it. I'm always trying to keep the toolbox open and my tool sharp and ready to go, because there's always like a new client that comes in and it challenges me, and I have to go and ask another coach, hey, have you ever been in this issue before? Because I want to really help this person, and I don't know what to do at this point, right? And the reason we all get those problem clients sometimes. What could I do better? So, and I
I
know
think
everybody.
that's actually such a good a sign of hopefully a good coach or a good teacher if they from time to time can say, listen, I don't know yet. I will do my very best to find out. And if I can't, I will, find someone who can. Or are you willing to go through this quote unquote experiment with me? I'm going to do my very best. And so admitting that or having that conversation, I think it shows humility and it actually builds trust with the client as well. So, yeah,
Yep. That's
absolutely.
why I think it's so important to pick somebody that you vibe with, that is helping, that is helping other women in your, or other men, whoever's listening to this, get to where you want to be. Because if you're just working with a quote unquote coach or a trainer, just because they're a trainer, it doesn't mean that they're going to be able to meet you with where you're at emotionally, because maybe they're working with six different demographics. And so, if you're a busy mom, finding a coach that works with specifically busy moms is so important. And then not only that, but really feeling like you can like them, feel like you know them on a personal level, even though it's like throughout, like obviously a screen. But like that, like and trust them is such an important factor in actually being successful in the program. That's what you need to look for in a coach, is that they're very dialed into a specific person that they're trying to help. Otherwise, yeah, you're not going to feel connected to them emotionally, and you're not going to have a good experience.
100%. I can only highlight and underline that. Well, Christian, thank you so much for your time. It's been a true pleasure speaking with you, and I hope, or I know, the listeners got some value from this. I will absolutely make sure to drop all your handles in the show notes so people can go and check out all your other content as well. But I'm just truly grateful for your time.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me on, and appreciate it. Thank you.
I hope you enjoyed my conversation with Christian. Thank you so much for tuning in. Go and give us both a follow on Instagram or YouTube. And remember, if you want personalized help with your nutrition and fitness goals, we'd love to guide you. One more thing before you go, if you are looking for premium supplements, our partner Fat Muscle Project has got you covered. Head to their website for the best protein powders, creatine, vitamin D, and more, and feel free to use our code NCL at the checkout. Thank you for listening.